All right, welcome in, everybody. We're diving into Ezekiel today, chapters 12 through 14, to be exact.
This is a really interesting section.
It is.
It's got a lot going on.
Yeah, exile. We've got some of those symbolic actions that Ezekiel's always doing.
Right.
You know, that would make a performance artist blush.
Right? Oh, yeah.
And this big showdown with false prophets. It's going to be good. It's like ancient reality TV, but with much higher stakes.
Absolutely. Much higher stakes. And, you know, it's funny because what we see in these chapters is actually really relevant even today. You know, we talk about information overload and people trying to sift through all the noise, figure out what's real and what's not, what's spin, what's dangerous, what's not. Ezekiel's world, it wasn't all that different.
You're right. I mean, just swap out Twitter for temple prophets. And yeah, it's the same struggle. So let's jump into this story. Ezekiel, he starts acting out these bizarre scenarios.
He does.
Like packing a bag for exile, digging through a wall, even covering his face. What was the deal with all that? Why was he sick?
It's interesting because
why all the drama?
Right. Why all the drama? You know, people often think about the prophets, especially in this time period. They weren't just speaking words.
Right.
It was a performance.
Right.
And so when you think about Ezekiel packing his bags and his stuff to go into exile and people knowing what exile meant, the loss of their home, their temple, you know, their way of life.
Everything.
Yeah, that was a very kind of visceral way of preparing them for what was coming.
Yeah, no, you're right. It's like he's showing them, look, this is what your future looks like. But I feel like he was also tapping into those raw emotions. Right. I mean, fear, uncertainty, maybe even a little denial.
Yeah. Think about what that must have been like. Like you said, to know that everything was about to change. I mean, your whole world was going to be uprooted.
Well, and, you know, one of the things that really brings that home for me is that he even symbolizes the exile of the king, Zedekiah.
Right.
So it's not just the average person on the street. It's like this is upheaval.
Top to bottom.
Of everything. Yeah. Top to bottom.
Big deal. And then there's that other scene where he's trembling with fear while he's eating, like he can barely get the food to his mouth.
Oh, yeah.
It's such a powerful image.
A very powerful image of anxiety.
Yeah.
Now think about trying to go about your daily life and knowing that everything's about to change and your world is, as we said, it's about to crumble. I mean, the anxiety must have been just crippling.
Yeah, absolutely. So we got exile, we got the crazy visuals, but then it gets even more complicated when you add the false prophets. Oh, yes. Because now you've got these guys that are running around saying, oh, everything's fine.
Right.
Don't worry. You'll be back home soon. Just, you know, everything's going to be okay. And it's got to be tempting. I mean, who wouldn't want to believe that? Yeah. I mean, when you're faced with such a bleak alternative, I mean, who wouldn't want to cling to a message of hope? That's part of the danger of these false prophets. You know, they were offering comfort at the expense of truth.
Right. Yeah. And you can feel the tension in the text, like between, you know, what Ezekiel's saying and then what these other guys are saying. And the people are skeptical. They're throwing out this proverb, the days are prolonged and every vision comes to nothing. So it's like they're saying, look, Ezekiel, you've been wrong so far. So why should we believe you now?
Right. And, you know, it's a classic case even today of people wanting to hear what makes them feel good. You know, even if it's not the truth. And remember, they're used to a certain way of life, and the idea of exile was just unthinkable.
Yeah.
So they latched onto these false prophets who are basically confirming their own biases.
Yeah. It's like our world today with social media echo chambers and, you know.
Absolutely.
You're just surrounded by information that reinforces that you already believe.
Yeah, you're right.
Even if it's not accurate.
You're exactly right. And that's why Ezekiel's message was so challenging. He was forcing them to confront an uncomfortable truth, and that's never easy.
No, it's not. So what was his big beef with these false prophets? Like, what made them so dangerous besides just being wrong?
Well, you know, he accuses them of speaking from their own imagination, not from God.
Right.
They were making things up, crafting these narratives that tickled people's ears, but had no basis in reality. And this wasn't just like a harmless difference of opinion.
Right.
This had real world consequences.
Yeah. Well, and wasn't there also something about them not interceding for the people?
Yes.
Like real prophets did?
Yes. True prophets, like Ezekiel, they would stand in the gap, plead with God on behalf of the people, try to avert disaster. You know, they were intercessors.
Right.
But these false prophets, they were more interested in their own gain than the well-being of the community. Think about it. If you're leading people astray, you're not exactly looking out for their best interests, are you?
No. No, you're not. And it feels almost, it's predatory almost, isn't it?
Yes. And Ezekiel uses some very vivid imagery to drive this point home.
Oh, yeah.
He compares them to jackals scavenging among ruins.
Okay.
They're picking through the wreckage of people's hopes, looking for scraps to benefit themselves.
Oh, that's harsh.
It is.
Jackals.
Yeah.
Not known for their compassion. But I get it. It's like, you know, those people who exploit a tragedy, you know, for their own gain. Think about people that are, you know, spreading misinformation after a natural disaster or you know, profiting off conspiracy theories and that kind of thing. It's the same energy.
Absolutely. It's a timeless pattern.
Yeah.
And Ezekiel wasn't afraid to call it out.
Nope. And then he uses this metaphor, the whitewashed wall.
Oh, yeah.
Which, you know, maybe doesn't sound as intense as jackals, but I feel like it cuts just as deep.
Right. And you have to remember the context, the cultural context. So in that time and place, whitewashing, it wasn't just about aesthetics. It was often used to cover up flaws, to make something look better than it actually was.
Right. It's like putting lipstick on a pig, you know? It might look better for a minute, but you're not fooling anybody. So these false prophets, they were offering this superficial fix, this quick coat of paint. But Ezekiel, I mean, he knew that it wasn't going to hold up under pressure.
Yeah, and this gets to the heart of the problem. The false prophets were offering a quick and easy solution, a way to avoid the hard work of repentance and change. But true prophecy, as Ezekiel understood it, was about confronting the truth,
mm-hmm.
no matter how uncomfortable it might be.
Yeah, no, you're right. You know, one of the things that always stands out to me in these chapters is also that there's this mention of female prophets.
Right.
And their diverse practices, like they're casting spells and they're making these special veils. And it's a reminder to me that prophecy wasn't this, you know, one size fits all kind of thing.
That's a great observation, and it highlights why discernment was so crucial. I mean, if prophecy could take so many forms, how could the people know who was truly speaking for God and who was just peddling their own agenda?
Right. It's like today, with all these voices claiming to have all the answers, how do we sift through all the noise and find the truth? And I guess that's what we're going to be unpacking next, right? How did Ezekiel tackle this challenge of separating the real deal from the fake?
Yeah, that's the big question, isn't it? And it's one that we're still wrestling with today. How do we know who to believe, you know, what to trust, especially when we are just bombarded with the information from all sides?
Right. It's like we're all living in Ezekiel's world now.
Exactly.
Just with, you know, smartphones instead of scrolls.
That's a good way to put it. And I think that's why chapter 14 is so fascinating.
Yeah.
Because it really throws us into this moral dilemma. You got the story of the elders coming to Ezekiel for a prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
And on the surface, they seem really sincere.
Right.
But God knows that their hearts are far from pure.
Yeah, so they're kind of playing this little game of religious charades, putting on this big show of piety, but secretly clinking to their idols. I guess some things never change.
Sadly, no. And this really gets to the core of what true faith is all about. You know, it's not about outward rituals or empty words.
Right.
It's about aligning your heart, your actions, your entire being with God's will.
Yeah, you can't try to serve two masters, can you?
No.
Especially when one of them is a literal idol.
Exactly. And that's precisely what God calls them out on. He demands repentance, a turning away from those false idols, and a return to wholehearted devotion.
Yeah.
You know, it's a powerful reminder that you can't compartmentalize your faith.
Right.
It has to permeate every aspect of your life.
This whole scenario with the elders, it really highlights, you know, why discernment is so crucial. Because they were seeking guidance, but their hearts weren't in the right place. So even if they'd gotten, you know, a positive prophecy, it wouldn't have really benefited them.
No.
Because they weren't truly open to God's will.
It's a subtle but important point. You know, true discernment isn't just about deciphering cryptic messages.
Right.
Or spotting the bad guys. It's about cultivating this inner sensitivity to God's voice,
mm-hmm.
aligning your heart with his truth.
Right.
So you can recognize it when you hear it.
Yeah.
Even if it's not what you expect or what you want to hear.
And you know, even the prophet who tried to deliver a prophecy on their behalf, I mean, even he was potentially misled.
Exactly. It really underscores how easy it is to get caught up in appearances, to mistake outward piety for genuine faith.
Yeah.
And this applies to us as well. We have to be careful not to just accept anything that sounds spiritual or religious at face value.
Right.
We need to test everything against the truth of God's word.
Mm-hmm.
And even then, pray for wisdom and discernment.
So how much responsibility do we have to actually discern the truth?
Mm-hmm.
Are we just supposed to blindly accept what we're told? Because it can feel overwhelming, especially in our world today.
Oh, absolutely.
Where everyone has an opinion and they've got a platform to share it.
Right. And that's where critical thinking comes in. It's more important now than ever. We can't just take everything at face value. We need to examine the source, the message itself,
right,
and whether it aligns with what we know to be true about God and his character.
So it's not about blindly following. It's about actively engaging with what we're hearing, asking questions, doing our own research, being willing to challenge our own assumptions.
Right, precisely. And remember, this isn't about becoming a cynic,
right,
or dismissing everything outright. It's about cultivating healthy skepticism, a discerning mind that seeks truth with humility and an open heart.
Almost like being a good journalist.
Yes.
Right. Check your sources. You don't just take things at face value. You're always aware of your own biases.
That's a great analogy.
Yeah.
And speaking of biases, that's another crucial piece of the discernment puzzle.
Mm.
We all come to the table with these preconceived notions and filters that can really shape how we interpret information.
Right.
We need to be aware of our own blind spots.
Yeah.
And be willing to challenge our own perspectives.
Oh, it's so easy, especially online, to get caught in those echo chambers where you're constantly being fed information that reinforces what you already believe.
Absolutely. That's why it's so important to cultivate a diverse network of voices in your life.
Yeah.
People who will challenge you and push you to think differently and help you to see things from new perspectives.
It's like that saying, you know, you are the average of the five people you spend the most time with.
Right.
And so if you're only surrounding yourself with people that agree with you all the time,
mm-hmm,
you're not really growing. You're not really learning.
Exactly. And this isn't just about intellectual stimulation.
Right.
It's about spiritual growth as well. We need each other to help us stay grounded in truth, to call out our blind spots, and to encourage us when we're struggling.
Yeah. So it's about having those trusted voices in your life to help you navigate all the noise and stay focused on what matters. You know, it's interesting how Ezekiel's message shifts after the fall of Jerusalem. It's still tough. But there's like this glimmer of hope that wasn't there before, especially that inclusion of the covenant promise. Then they shall be my people and I will be their God. It's like even in the midst of judgment, there's this promise of redemption, restoration.
That's a powerful observation. It's as if, having walked through the fire of judgment, Ezekiel and the exiles are able to receive this message of hope on a deeper level.
Mm-hmm.
It's a reminder that God never gives up on his people, even when they mess up royally.
Even when it seems completely hopeless, God's still there. He's still working. He's still offering a way forward.
And that's a message we desperately need to hear today, don't we?
Yeah.
In a world that often feels chaotic and uncertain, it's comforting to know that God is still in control, that his love and faithfulness are unwavering.
It's a reminder that even in the darkest of times, there's always hope. But it's not passive hope, is it?
No.
It's not just sitting back and waiting for God to fix everything. It's about actively participating in the process of restoration and renewal.
Exactly. It's about taking responsibility for our actions, seeking forgiveness and reconciliation, and working toward a better future. And that brings us back to this idea of discernment. It's not just about avoiding falsehood.
Right.
It's also about actively seeking truth.
Mm.
It's an ongoing pursuit, a lifelong journey of discovery.
I love that. So we've talked about exile, the dangers of false prophecy, and the importance of discerning truth. But what does all this mean for us today? Why should we care about these ancient struggles? I mean, it's easy to think about all this and think, well, this is ancient history, exile, prophets. This is all, you know, thousands of years ago. What does this have to do with me?
Yeah, but that's the thing. These aren't just ancient struggles. They're human struggles.
Right.
The things that the exiles faced, disinformation, spiritual deception, the temptation to compromise their faith, we face those same challenges today, just in different forms.
Okay, so we see ourselves in these stories.
Yeah.
But how do we take these ancient lessons and actually apply them to our modern lives?
Right. I mean, it's nothing to talk about discernment, but how do we actually put it into practice in a world that's constantly trying to pull us in a million different directions?
Yeah, where do we even begin?
Well, I think a good starting point is cultivating healthy skepticism. I don't mean becoming a cynic and just dismissing everything outright.
Right.
But it's about having a discerning mind, one that asks questions and seeks evidence before accepting something as truth.
So it's like being a journalist.
Yeah.
Check your sources. You don't take things at face value. You look for credibility, consistency, and does it align with what we know to be true?
Exactly. And don't forget about those biases we were talking about earlier.
Oh, yeah.
We all have them. preconceived notions, filters that can shape how we interpret information.
Oh, yeah. Confirmation bias. Super easy to fall into that trap where you only seek out information that reinforces what you already believe.
Right. So self-awareness is key. You know, ask yourself, why am I drawn to this particular message? Does it confirm what I already believe, or is it challenging me to think differently?
That's such a good point. And I think that's where community can be so valuable. You know, surrounding yourself with people who can challenge your thinking, ask those tough questions, help you see things from different perspectives.
I couldn't agree more. You know, we weren't meant to discern truth in isolation.
Right.
We need each other to bounce ideas off of, test our assumptions, hold each other accountable.
It's about having those trusted voices in your life that can help you kind of navigate all the noise and stay focused on what matters. People that can point out when you're heading down a rabbit hole or getting caught up in something that's not healthy.
Exactly. And I think it's also about cultivating a posture of humility, recognizing that we don't have all the answers, and being open to learning from others, even those who hold different views.
That's so important, especially in our world today. It's like everything is so polarized. And it's so easy you get caught up in this us versus them mentality.
Yeah.
And we forget that we're all on this journey together.
Right. And that humility piece is crucial because it keeps us open to new information, new perspectives, and even correction when we're off track.
It strikes me that this whole conversation about discernment, it's not just about avoiding falsehood, but it's also about actively seeking truth. It's not passive. It's an ongoing pursuit. It's a lifelong journey of discovery.
I love that. A journey of deepening our understanding of God, ourselves, and the world around us.
So as we wrap up our deep dive into Ezekiel, I want to leave you with this thought to ponder. We've talked about the exile's struggle with false prophets, the importance of discernment, and how relevant these challenges still are for us. But here's the question. What are the idols in your own life? The things you might be clinging to that could be hindering your ability to see clearly and discern truth?
That's a powerful question, and it deserves some serious reflection.
It does.
Because just like the exiles in Ezekiel's time, we can fall prey to those false hopes, misplaced loyalties, and shiny distractions that pull us away from what truly matters.
So I encourage you to take some time this week, really examine your heart, seek wisdom, and cultivate that discerning mind that can help you navigate all the complexities of our world and draw you closer to truth. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive, and until next time, keep seeking, keep questioning, and keep diving deep.